Good afternoon and welcome to this special radio program on Radio Maranatha 103.3 FM. I'm your presenter, McDonald Mumba. This afternoon, we'll be looking at the Independent Broadcasting Authority, IBA in short. This is what we'll be looking at, and I'm glad that I'm joined in the studio by two officials from IBA. May I take this opportunity to introduce Mr. Eustace Kandu, Director, Standards, Licensing, and Compliance. Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Maranatha. And he's not alone. He's accompanied to the studio by Leah Kabamba, Manager, Standards and Consumer Affairs. Good afternoon, Leah, and welcome to Radio Maranatha.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much.
Long time no seen. Good to see you. As a result of this program, at least I'm able to see Mr. Nkandu, Leah, and somebody who is in the background whose name I won't mention. Well, this is our special program this afternoon, and to start the ball rolling, what is IBA and what is its role? Let me direct this question at Mr. Nkandu.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mumba. The Independent Broadcasting Authority is a statutory body that was established through an Act of Parliament, number 17 of 2002, and the same act was amended in 2010. By number 26 Amendment Act of the Independent Broadcasting Authority. The institution itself, despite the act, you know, having being enacted in 2002, the institution itself was set up in 2013 around July. So we are close to 2 years now. The overall mandate of the Independent Broadcasting Authority is to ensure that there is a pluralistic and diverse broadcasting sector in this country. So we are a regulatory body. We license radio stations. We grant them licenses, and at the same time, we also have the mandate to, in unfortunate circumstances, we can also revoke or cancel a license. We also are mandated to ensure that we develop broadly the broadcasting sector in this country, you know, by setting standards in the broadcasting sector. We also are mandated to receive complaints from people who may want to have anything to complain with the broadcasting houses. Our role is to handle those complaints and advise and provide that advice to our radio stations so that they stick to certain set standards. So broadly, that is our mandate.
All right, then why is there a need to regulate the broadcasting industry? Leah.
Thank you so much, McDonald. There's need to regulate the broadcasting industry because the lack of which would lead to a situation where none of us would be able to actually broadcast to anyone. If Maranatha is broadcasting on 103.3 and then the next person decides to broadcast on 103.4, what will happen is that the Kabwe residents or the people to whom Maranatha is trying to broadcast will actually not hear anything that Maranatha is broadcasting. Likewise, even the other station which is broadcasting will not reach their intention, which is to talk to or to be able to communicate with the public. So there would be noise. Nobody would be able to hear each other. So from a technical point of view, there's need to regulate because the mode in which radio is done, that is the use of frequency, it's a scarce resource that needs to be regulated so that whoever is broadcasting will be able to be heard by the people that they intend to broadcast to. There's also need for regulation from the standpoint of standards of programming, because as broadcasting stations, you are, or any radio or TV broadcasting station is a very powerful tool that communicates with the people. Anything that is said on air is taken as the truth, and therefore there's need for standards to be put in place. Otherwise, there can be chaos, We've heard of situations where in some countries wars have been started as a result of careless broadcasting. So that also becomes one of the reasons that broadcasting needs to be regulated.
All right. And then what sorts of relationship does the IBA have with our broadcasting stations?
I think at the moment I would say that the relationship is very cordial. Despite the fact that we've been in existence for less than 2 years. Previously, if you recall, this particular function, you know, was being done by the Minister of Information and Broadcasting Services. Before that, this mandate actually also was given to the Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation before the Act was amended. And then it was realized that, you know, it was not possible for, you know, ZNBC to be fair in terms of regulating other broadcasting houses. If anything, actually, no radio station probably even, you know, was born as a result of, you know, this function being, you know, squarely placed on ZNBC. So it was felt ZNBC couldn't be both a player and a referee. So the media themselves, you know, governors themselves, you know, media practitioners themselves, you know, pushed for the establishment of an independent body that would be able to, you know, do the licensing and this, or the regulation of the broadcasting sector. And that resulted into a private member's bill that was eventually, picked by the government, and the Independent Broadcasting Authority Act, you know, was passed in 2002. But because there were other issues that, emerged, the institution itself couldn't be set up until 2013. And so here we are, and we do realize, of course, that for a long time, the sector, you know, has remained unregulated, in the sense that broadcasters themselves, you know, would just apply to the ministry, and they would you know, get, you know, a license. Other aspects of the act were not being, you know, implemented. So it's a relatively new, you know, issue to the broadcasting fraternity. However, I think we've been received, warmly by, you know, the people that we found already existing. Because by the very fact that, you are a broadcaster, you are actually bound, you know, by the provisions of the IBA Act. So we are trying to build, in fact, this relationship and making sure that it works, because we need each other. You know, for you to broadcast, you need to have a license. And for us also to exist, we need to have broadcasters. So it's a symbiotic relationship that has to exist. And we are hoping that through interaction like this, we'll be able to, you know, our broadcasters will be able to learn more, as well as the public will be able to learn more about our work, and we move forward. Our role is to make sure that we improve the broadcasting sector, both qualitatively and quantitatively. We don't just want to have radio stations sprouting all over. Much as that is important, but we also need to have quality in these radio stations. That's why the standards, you know, are very important. Both technical as well as content standards have to be adhered to, and that is our role.
This is our Independent Broadcasting Authority ABA radio program on Radio Maranatha, and my guest this afternoon happens to be Eustace Kanu, Director Standards, Licensing and Compliance, and he's not alone. He's accompanied by Leah Kabamba, Manager, Standards and Consumer Affairs. In case you want to participate, you can call us on 0979-401227, 0979-401227, and your query will be attended to. Remember, this is the Independent Broadcasting Authority IBA radio program on Radio Maranatha 103.3 FM. Now, just what are the requirements for people wanting to start new radio stations? Leah.
Thank you so much, MacDonald. Radio or TV licenses are categorized into three types. There's a commercial license, there's a community or religious license, as well as a subscription license. If you want to start a community radio station, you need to make a group of people, of at least five people, and then register your institution with the Registrar of Societies, or as the company limited by guarantee with PACRA, and then apply to the IBA for a license to broadcast. If you want to be a commercial station, you need to register with the PACRA, As well as if you want to be a subscription station, you need to register with PAKRA and then apply to IBA. And when that application is made as IBA, we are looking at your business proposal. Even if you are a community radio station, we'll need to look at your business proposal, because we are convinced that even as a community radio station, you've got bills to pay, you've got electricity to pay, phone bills, internet, water, stationery, etc. Therefore, we need to see a plan where you tell us how you'll be making the money. One other thing that will require you to do is to show the type of programming which you have as a station. And sometimes it may be that you are not given a license because that which you are proposing to do is already existing in a particular society. However, we only expect people to apply to have a broadcasting station once we have announced to them that in this particular area there are available frequencies. It's not just to wake up and apply for a frequency or to apply for to start a radio or a TV station. It will be that as an institution we have sat and we have said, okay, in Central Province there are currently two stations, there's need for more, and then we advertise and then people can apply.
Right, this is an IBA radio station, a radio program rather, on Radio Maranatha 103.3. In case you want to contribute, the line is 0979-401227, 0979-401227. And Ms. Ankandu, do you want to add on to what Leah has just said before I go to my next question?
Thank you very much. I think it's also important that to stress the fact that broadcasting is a very sensitive sector, and as IBA, we're very cautious of who we give these licenses to, because we do not want people to be given a license and then the next day they start announcing, you know, things that are going to put this country, you know, on fire. So there is also a security clearance that normally happens. You know, Leah, you know, referred to the minimum, you know, board members, five, and these people's names will be submitted to the security wings of the state for them to be cleared, you know, in case they have any, you know, criminal records or anything that might, you know, prove to be, you know, dangerous if such people were given a license. So we require that. We also require that you provide us with basic information regarding your premises. Are you going to be renting? Because, again, we cannot have a situation where a radio station is situated at a pub or at a place where, you know, security might be compromised. So we do not want to do that, because if you have a radio station that is next to a bar, a drunk person will walk into the bar and announce a coup. So we wouldn't want a situation like that. So we want a premises that are secure. I can see here this Radio Maranatha, you know, it's in a very, you know, conducive environment, very secure. That is the kind of, you know, thing that we look for as a person who is applying. And then once the application is lodged with us, there's a prescribed form that you have to, you know, to submit with us and with all the necessary requirements. We do also have guidelines that we give. If you are constructing, we'll give you specifications in terms of the space that you need to, you know, to have. And then once you are done, the authority then will issue with a construction permit. So a construction permit is basically, you know, a permit that allows you to put your station in order in terms of the equipment, as well as the structure. And once you are done, we call the authority. We come and inspect. Once we're satisfied with the inspection, then we'll give you a test transmission, you know, permit. Test transmission permit, you know, has a minimum period of, or maximum period of 3 months. But should you be ready even after 2 weeks, you can call us and then we'll give you, upon inspection, we'll be able to, you know, satisfactory inspection, we'll be able to give you a full broadcast license. So that is, in a way, a process that we follow, you know, and it's a very transparent process. You know, the management does its work, and then the information, once it's processed, it's passed on to the, you know, the board, because that is the supreme body that is made, you know, established to make decisions on behalf of the authority.
This is IBA radio program on Radio Maranatha. In case you want to participate, the number is 0979-401227, 0979-401227. Now, can a radio license be revoked? If yes, what situation can lead to this? Let me throw this question to Leah.
Thank you very much.
Maybe yes. Just hold it there. We seem to have our first caller. Hello.
Hello, Magdi.
Yes, good afternoon. Your name?
Yeah, Francis Namuka. Quickly, me from here. Me, I'm saying, how are they going to be successful? Because this broadcasting is being controlled by politicians. Thank you very much. Signing off is Francis Namuka. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. Your question, I think, has been picked. Yes, who would like to take it? Yes, or is it Leah? Let me start with Mr. Nkandu.
I'm not very sure what the caller meant, but in fact, one of the one of the conditions that we have in our act is that it precludes or it actually prevents anyone who is in active politics. If you are actively involved in politics, you cannot actually own a radio or TV station. So in terms of control, really, from that registration point of view, we are very strict. If somebody is actively involved in politics, the law is very clear. The law that we apply, you cannot be given a radio station or a TV station. So the control really, I'm not very clear on at what level or from what perspective, whether it's content or what. But I think from ownership point of view, it's not possible for somebody who is actively involved in politics to be given a license.
All right, back to my earlier question. Can a radio station license be revoked? If yes, what can lead to this?
Okay, maybe let me just add to Mr. Francis's question. The IBA can be independent to the extent that the law provides. You will find that the way programs are supposed to be in terms of ethics is prescribed in the Act. In terms of how someone can complain is prescribed in the Act. So when we carry out our duties, we carry out our duties to the extent that the law allows us to. And even when people are complaining, they're complaining based on the breaking of that which the Act permits. That's what I can add to the answer that the director had given. Yes, a license can be suspended or revoked, and there are several instances or situations under which that can be done. For example, if a radio station consecutively for 60 days does not broadcast anything, then it is deemed that they cannot manage to run a station. Remember that the frequency which any station is using is a very, very, very scarce resource. It's not in abundance. As a country, we can only have so many. So if a station does not broadcast 60 days consecutively, we can take away the license. Also, if within 90 days they do not broadcast consecutively but intermittently, like 2 days they broadcast, one day they don't, but those days add up to 90, we can take away the license. Also, it could be that the owners of a particular radio station do not feel like running a station anymore. They can write to us and say, we are no longer interested in having a station. Then it means that we can take away the license. And also, any radio or TV station license is valid for a period of time. At the moment, that period of time is 7 years. And then, even if the life of that license is 7 years, on a yearly basis, the station is required to pay certain fees to the authority. And if it is found that stations are failing to do that, those may be grounds for suspending or revoking their license. And as well as if they are broadcasting things that would unnecessarily put the country on fire, as the director would put it, that may give us grounds to take away a license from them.
In addition, also that if after you've acquired your license, then Later on, it is established that that license was acquired through fraudulent means. You presented, you know, information that was incorrect at that particular moment. You pretended that you owned certain things, and yet those things didn't belong to you. And then we discover that, you know, they are not yours. We can actually also suspend or revoke the license. Also, for especially this is particular to television. If you you provide a broadcasting service that you are not licensed for, that also, you know, constitutes an offense. Also, failure to adhere to directives, you know, given by the authority in relation to certain compliance, you know, issues. For example, if the station is repeatedly, warned about its content in terms of music, or it could be in terms of programming, it's not sticking to its program guide, or indeed, you know, the station is failing to meet certain, you know, technical requirements, then authority will be unfortunately forced to actually close. It's not something that we would want to envisage or would want, to happen to any radio station, because we do value the contribution that each and every radio station makes to this country. But at the same time, we want to just sound a warning that failure to comply to set regulations might result in us, grabbing that license that we gave to you.
Right, 0979-401227, 0979-401227 is a number you can get us on. Now, let's look at issues of ethics. What is the importance of ethics in broadcasting? Leah.
Thank you so much. Ethics in any profession will provide guidelines within which the people that belong to that fraternity are expected to behave. So for journalism, there's a code of practice that has been put up by the journalists themselves, as well as a brief code of practice that has been put in the IBA Act. So what we have done as IBA is to marry that which the journalists developed in 2010 in their Zambian Media Council constitution, as well as that which is provided for in the Act, to guide how journalists will conduct themselves, how journalists will gather news, how journalists will not show the faces of maybe defiled young girls or people that are related to that young girl that may eventually lead to someone knowing who that girl is, etc. There are many rules that the journalists themselves have come up with that we have adopted and we use in relation to broadcasting.
Mr. Kando, would you want to add on to what Leah has just said?
Certainly. I think any profession, like my colleague said, you know, is distinguished by what it professes, you know, what it holds dearly. And I think the profession of journalism or being a media practitioner is a noble profession. And people that, you know, have decided to join this particular profession have said that they value certain things. And our role as IBA is not to, you know, to impose anything. Actually, the way the Act is structured is such that our role is to guide institutions, broadcasting houses, you know, develop these ethical codes. And then it is these ethical codes that we're going to hold them accountable to. You know, so we're not going to impose anything apart from, of course, the minimum, you know, the minimum principles that have been provided in the Act. The rest is now left, you know, it's incumbent upon individual radios and TV stations to develop in-house, you know, standards that then they will deposit with the Independent Broadcasting Authority, and then we'll say, in terms of compliance, we'll be following to say Radio Maranatha, you know, said that they will not be doing this, but this is exactly what they're doing. So we'll hold you accountable to that. So ethics in any profession is important, and for broadcasting, like we said earlier on, it's a very, very sensitive thing that, you know, saying one wrong thing on air might actually set up even a town like Kawe on fire. Before we know it, Lusaka will also be on fire because somebody has spread hate speech. You know, they are spreading tribalism on air. They are, you know, promoting sectarian interests. That is not allowed in broadcasting. So we expect that our broadcasters or people that hold a license that has been issued by the Independent Broadcasting Authority who hold dearly those ethics and practice them to the latter, so that we all live in a better and developed society.
Just a rider to that, Mr. Nkand. What can listeners do if they feel aggrieved or have complaints against broadcasters?
Thank you very much. The Independent Broadcasting Authority Act is balanced in the sense that it caters for broadcasters as well as members of the public. You know, very few
just
people...
Just heard it there. We seem to have another caller. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, we've lost that one. Yes, sir. You can go ahead.
We want to, you know, tell, you know, our listeners that you have the right to complain against what you consider to be unprofessional conduct, you know, by broadcasting houses. The process is simple. You first of all begin by complaining to the institution that you are aggrieved, you know, against. If you have any issues against what Maranatha is broadcasting, that is, if Maranatha is broadcasting anything that is against what they've said they'll be broadcasting, then you need to raise the issue with the radio station itself first. Chances are that that radio station will be able to resolve that issue. It can be either the station will explain to you to say, I think this was done in good faith, there's no harm, no malice was meant, or indeed the station might say, sorry, we made a mistake, we misquoted you, or we quoted you wrongly, and here is our apology, we tender an apology, or any other appropriate remedial measure that the station might decide. And the person might be satisfied, you know. Or if the person is not satisfied, you know, by the statement or the action that you've taken, that's when, you know, within the period of 14 days, you have, as a station, you have 14 days to address that issue. If the issue is not addressed in 14 days, or if indeed, as a station, you have attempted to address it, but the person is unsatisfied, that's when the person now will have to complain to the Independent Broadcasting Authority. And as an authority also, we have 14 days in which to now do our own investigation. So we're not just going to take action based on us receiving that particular complaint, but we also get back to the station, do our own investigations. If we find there's merit in that particular, you know, complaint, then the station will be asked to make good of its, you know, action. And should the station fail, we will still get back to the station and appeal to the station to say, please rectify this. You are given this amount of time to do it. You haven't done it. Maybe I'll give you 2 or 3 extra days to do it. If indeed the station still has not taken action or has not complied with that, then the authority, according to the Act, will actually now take that case to the High Court for the High Court to issue a compelling order. And you know now, once it goes to the court, it becomes the issue between you and the court. And should you fail, the court will take an appropriate action in the name of contempt of court. So that is simply the complaints procedure, and it's important that people take an interest in registering their complaints against certain things that they feel, you know, is not going right in these broadcasting houses.
0979-401227, 0979-401227 is the number you can get us on for your contribution. Now, why does the public need to understand with regards to digital migration? Leah.
Thank you very much. Digital migration will involve a process where the TV stations will change the way they have been broadcasting to us from an annual system to a digital system. What that will mean is that us as viewers will end up having clearer picture, will end up having an electronic program guide which will show us, for example, that the movie which you're watching now is good for people that are 16 years and above, or is good for the whole family, etc. The change will also bring about a situation where the quality of broadcasting that's being received in Lusaka is the same as Kabwe, is the same as Serenge, is the same as Nakonde. It will be the same everywhere. Now, our emphasis is to tell the public that they do not have to change the TVs that they have. The public needs to understand that the TVs that they have right now in their homes will continue working even after the migration. The only thing that they'll have to do is to get a decoder. And it is also important for the public to understand that just because they have a flat screen does not mean that they are digital compliant. Some or most flat screens that we have in our homes today do not have a digital tuner. So we too, with flat screens, will have to get that decoder. Digital TVs are beginning to get into the country, and those that feel they can spend a lot more to get a digital TV can do that. But we also know that there are people that have worked very, very hard to get themselves their first TVs or their second TVs, and it would be unfair for us to say, get rid of that TV which you worked so hard to get and get a digital TV. And this is why we're saying, buy a decoder for now. In good time, all of us will have digital TVs, but as at now, the decoders are the way to go.
Now, Ms. Tankando, just last week I received a call from one of our listeners who wanted to know what effect this same digital migration will have on radio. Okay. They wanted to prepare themselves.
Okay, that is very good preparation. I think for now, for 2015, we're talking about digital migration in television. However, come 2020, there'll be digital migration on radio, meaning that from especially the owners, from management point of view, it will mean that running a radio station will come slightly cheaper in the sense that you do not have to deal with the transmission part of it, because there will be a signal distributor, most likely the same signal distributor that will be distributing television will also be distributing in radio. So radio stations now will have to concentrate on content production rather than thinking about the transmitter blowing up somewhere in Kapiri or somewhere there. So that will be taken care of by the the signal distributor. So the role of broadcasting stations now will really be to produce content and channel or pipe that content to a signal distributor who will be able to now distribute this. So I think to some extent that the benefit will be that radio stations now will not be restricted so much by geographical location. So depending on the kind of deal that a station has with the signal distributor, will probably be able to cover larger, and longer distances than you are currently doing with it. So it's all for the benefit of quality, in terms of quality programming, quality sound, and things like that, and also uniform sound. Because regardless of where you'll be, whether you're in a mountainous place, the digital signal, the beauty about it is that you'll be able to receive it just as good as a person who just lives next to the transmitting site. So these are the benefits. And I think the emphasis, like Leah said, especially for television, is that please, the same TV sets that you have, they will still work. What you need to get is a decoder, what they refer to as a set-top box, or simply call it a decoder, and still you'll be able to receive your TV stations free to air. So because others are scared to say that because it will be it will require them to buy a decoder, then there will be subscription. No, the same ZNBC that you watch, you'll be able to watch it without paying for it, unless of course you want to choose to buy, to go for subscription TV. But as long as it's going to remain what is referred to as DTT, which is digital terrestrial television, it will be all for free through that particular decoder that you have.
Unfortunately, colleagues, time doesn't seem to be our best ally this afternoon. But before we close, may I get your concluding remarks? Let me start with you, Leah. Your concluding remarks.
Thank you. It's important for the public to know that we have inspectors on the ground listening in and watching whatever is on TV and on radio. However, there may be certain things that they will miss. And our best allies are the public. We are dependent on you, the listeners and the viewers, to complain to radio stations and TV stations when they air something that you do not think should be aired. When the public begins to do this, even the radio and the TV stations will begin to understand to broadcast quality content. If the public is aloof and not complaining, then the radio stations and TV stations may start getting away with anything that they feel like. We have a website, www.iba.org.zm. There's a complaint form on there. There's information on there on how to complain, on how to start a radio station. Please feel free to get onto that.
Thank you so much, Leah. Mr. Nkando, as you conclude.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk to the Radio Maranatha listeners. I think the points to emphasize, I'll talk about digital migration, I think is to not to get scared about it, not to listen to people who are, you know, peddling lies that there'll be a blackout. The rollout is planned in such a way that it will start, you know, the migration will start with, you know, people on the line of rail from Chilawombo to Livingstone. And later off, the second phase, you know, it will be for provincial centers and then move to districts and other areas. So the at some point, you know, before the total shutting off of the analog, you know, transmitters, you know, there will be a period called simulcast period where, you know, both the analog as well as the digital signals will be sent at the same time. So if somebody has not yet bought the digital, the decoder, they'll still be able to watch their TV, but they only be able to see the difference in the sense that their friends, you know, TV that is connected to a decoder will be much clearer and, you know, better quality sound, as well as sharp pictures. You still have a bit of showers and things like that. So you might want to now get those, you know, digital at the decoder so that you migrate with the rest of the country. So we're very grateful and, you know, thank you so much for this opportunity. And we hope that people now will, you know, are aware about our existence, those that have listened, and also if they have anything to complain against radio stations, they should be feel free to go and approach their radio stations and complain, or TV stations. If they feel still the issue hasn't been aggrieved, that's when they addressed, they can now raise or escalate their complaint to the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
Mr. Eustace Nkandu, IBA Director, Standards, Licensing and Compliance, and Leah Kabamba, Manager, Standards and Consumer Affairs, I'd like to thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed myself. And in case of any questions that will come after you've long gone, we'll definitely forward them to you.
Thank you so much.
My name is MacDonald Mumba. May the good Lord bless us all. Oh,